Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This episode is all about Huasteca Potosina, the most beautiful place you've never heard of. Sponsored by Huasteca Secreta.
Oi, oi, lads. Bienvenido. Welcome to this mini episode about Huasteca Potosina. Now, I know what you're thinking. What the hell is Huasteca? I can't even say it. What the hell is Huasteca Potosina? Well, we were the same as you, my friends, before we were enlightened. We had never, ever heard of this place before. But we're going to go into more detail over the next 40 minutes or so about this amazingly stunning place. So, strap yourselves in.
Strap yourselves in indeed. Right, so we went on this trip with a company called Huasteca Secreta. That's secret with an A on the end for you non-lingos. And we went on the trip with them because our friend Gabby, so this is a Mexican woman who is an actress in the UK. She's quite famous on stage. She performs in the West End, but she was my childhood best friend. And she was in Mexico with her husband, James, which you might have heard us speak about on the last episode. She told us about this company and she was telling us that she was going to this really beautiful place. And that's the great thing about traveling. You know, if you don't have a plan, you can just go when someone says about something that sounds really cool. So she said in a few weeks' time, they were going there. Did we want to come? And then also our friend Becky, who came to travel Mexico with us, was on her way to Mexico as well. So it's kind of turning into this whole big group. And we were going on a group tour as well. So it wasn't just us five. It was also a bunch of other locals and Mexicans there as well. So it was a really good group.
And when Gabby was telling us about this trip, she was saying, you know, it's to Huasteca Potosina. And, you know, we're thinking, what the hell, you know, never heard of this place. What is it? She showed us some pictures and videos. Straight away, we were sold. We're thinking, how have we not heard of this place before? So, yeah, we went along. We joined Gabby and James on this tour. Huasteca Secreta had us along for the ride. And we left León. This is a city in Mexico where we were staying. That's where Gabby lives, or where her family live. Like Amy said, Gabby actually lives in England, but her family live in León. It was about a 3 to 4 hour car journey from León, and first we went to a city called San Luis Potosí, where we met the group.
But I know what you're all thinking, so let's answer the question. What actually is Huasteca Potosina?
My name is Alex Manso, and the company is called Huasteca Secreta. I'm the general manager of activities of Huasteca Secreta and Huasteca Adventures. Huasteca Potosina, it is divided in 5 different states. Huasteca, the region, it's a jungly place that it combines different states of the Mexican Republic. So the people that used to live here, it has a precedent of 800 years before the Mayan civilization. So those are the Huastecos. And Huasteca Potosina belongs to that region.
What can people like us, what can people do in this area of Mexico?
Well, this is center of Mexican Republic, and there is everything but the sea. So we are 2 hours away from the sea, so you can do climbing, hiking, trekking, rafting, rappelling in waterfalls, diving, deep diving in cenotes. Like pretty much everything that you find in the United States or everywhere else, it is confined in this beautiful region of the Huasteca.
And so you were saying on the previous question about how it's an old civilization. So does everybody speak Spanish here, or is it a different language, like a pre-Mayan language?
Yes, the Spanish people conquered, and the French were involved with it. The language that they used to speak in here used to be called Tenec, which is the language. So in the villages, most of the language that they speak is Tenec. And then they modify that to be able to cope with the civilization of today's days, so they learn Spanish.
Okay, and can you say anything in Tenec?
Of course. Yeah. I can say Aluela la cachi puli, which means hello, beautiful woman.
Ah, very nice, very smooth.
You can say that because your wife is all the way in Wales at the moment, isn't she?
Yeah. Well, I conquered my wife by speaking kind of like different than everybody else, you know?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I want to ask, this place is amazingly beautiful, but before coming here, why have we never heard of it before?
You know, the Huasteca region as Huasteca destination has been hiding for many years because people was always trying to travel to the sea and the beaches and blue water of the sea and white sand. So we have everything in the Mexican Republic. We have the Caribbean and we have the Pacific. But people was afraid of traveling inside of Mexico because they didn't know. They were afraid of the unknown. That's why.
I just want to go back to like the nature and the beauty. The water here is a color I've never seen before. Why is the water that color?
So basically, all the water that it gets back down here to the Huasteca region, it is easy travel under the ground through limestone. So all the minerals that they are deposits of really deep limestone in the tectonic plates, it just brings that beautiful color of the water. And a lot of people think that this is because we put stuff into the water to make it happen, and it's not. It is just the limestone itself.
Yeah, because it's just such a beautiful turquoise blue, isn't it? Yeah, it is incredible. Like you said, I've never seen any water like that. But finally, do you think that this is the best place in Mexico?
Whoa.
It's a tough question.
Yeah.
Because I love the Mexican Republic, but I've been living all along America and the UK and Europe, and I always find myself coming back to this place. So
that's your answer.
There you go.
So as one of our guys just said there, Alex, it is one of the most stunning places we've ever been. And I feel like we say that a lot because we've just been on a really big trip and we have seen some fantastic places. But can I just say, we have traveled around the world. I have never seen water like it. It's because of the limestone in it. It's got like a milkiness to it, but it's a milky blue, isn't it? It's just indescribable.
Yeah, it looks really mysterious and inviting. Especially when the sun's out and the sun's shining, all colours reflecting all over the place. It really is amazing. And you think, because it's a bit murky, that doesn't sound like a good thing. You think of like clear water as being beautiful, but I thought it looked even better than clear water. It is hard to describe. And I'll point out at this point, we have also made a video for our YouTube channel and you should look at the video. I'm sure those of you that follow us on Instagram, you remember this place. You're right, words don't do it justice. It's stunning. Hotel number one. First of all, we arrive for lunch, and the first thing that really took us back was where you sit for lunch outside. It's right by this massive waterfall. I know we've joked before on podcasts, I'm not a huge waterfall fan, but it's because of the color of the water. It's something. The hotel, yeah, it's like it's modern, but it's also, it looks quite rustic and it just blends in really well with the environment. And where our room was, we stepped out, our own little private bungalow, really, our own hut. You walk out, swimming pool, and the swimming pool at the end of it, what is it called, like an
infinity pool,
that's it, where it looks like it goes on forever. Well, the pool looks like it joins the river at the end of like the garden where there's this big grass area, and it took our breath away when we arrived. Absolutely stunning.
So yeah, it really is a stunning place. And like you said, with that waterfall, I believe it's called Tamul Waterfall, but that's kind of the basis of a lot of our activities, because you know, that's what keeps that river flowing. So we were rafting on that river, we were tubing, we were stand-up paddleboarding at midnight on that river. It really was the basis of all of our activities.
Yep, lots of water sports activities coming up, and the first one was tubing. Now, like where we were on this river, it's not like a raging rapid. There's a few like little drops that you go down. But when you're in your own like rubber ring, that's what tubing is. People who have been around Southeast Asia might have done tubing, where it's like a combination of a bar crawl, but also you sit in these inflatable rubber rings and you float down the river having a drink, and it's all lovely. There wasn't drinking involved this time. That's not how they do it in Mexico. But in a big group of people, we're all kind of together, like behind each other in a line, on these rubber rings, going down these little drops. A lot of us fell out several times. I don't think I did, actually. You fell out, didn't you?
No, you did fall out because I edited the video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Don't try and make yourself to be better than everyone else, Nick. Yeah, I definitely fell out. But who fell out the most, do you think?
Oh, Becky. So our mate Becky, you guys would have heard of before on this podcast. She was on the Iceland episode. I think she's been, the Bolivia game. She helped us out with that. Mate, she's banter. She's funny. And as she's falling out this rubber ring, floating down the river, she's got one her phone in one of her hands trying to film it all. She's shouting, "All for the gram! It's all for the gram!" as she disappears off into the distance.
Okay, we're going down the rapid now. Bums up so you don't hit the rocks. That's the advice given. And we're going, it's pulling! Woo!
It's all for the gram. She's back.
I'm back.
How's it feel to be back?
Back once again, like the renegade master.
It's all for the gram. I think everything we do when we're traveling is for the gram. Not just us, it's you guys as well. So don't lie about it. Right. So I think tubing was a really good first activity because, just to kind of play down, if any of you are worried, if you want to do this, but you're a bit worried about tubing, it's not scary. It's quite low level in this river. Like Nick said, it's not like a raging river. So it's really nice, really chilled. We were trying to get to know the group and we were having a bit of a laugh at the same time. So yeah, it's super chilled and yeah, really lots of fun. But then the activities kind of increase as the week moves on.
Oh, does it? Yeah, like you said, this was the perfect gentle introduction. So then later that evening, we started this afternoon, but there was still another activity that day. After dinner, nighttime stand-up paddleboarding. And after we'd all got dry from tubing, had some dinner, we were kind of thinking, do we want to get back in the water? But the difference between normal stand-up paddleboarding and this, because it was a nighttime, all the SUP boards, they had lights underneath them. LED lights underneath the stand-up paddleboards. So when you're standing on top, paddling along in the dark, all these different lights light up the river, which looks beautiful. And it almost looks like everyone's kind of floating on like smoke, like on steam, like not on water. It was a really fascinating thing to see. Very enjoyable to do. You managed to paddle right up close to the waterfall, didn't you?
Yeah, so I think that was one of the tasks really that we were doing with the guide, the stand-up paddleboard guide. And yeah, you try and get as close to that waterfall as you can because it's a powerful, everyone knows how powerful water can be, but it's a strong, big waterfall and you just paddle as far as you can. I think I got like 6 meters away from where the water was really crashing. Yeah, I couldn't get any closer than that, to be fair. But yeah, definitely it was a beautiful time to do it, not only because of the LED lights under our boards, but also because obviously the stars were out at night. It was a full moon. We were there with our friends just starting this brand new adventure. And it was just, it was such a good feeling. Like Nick said before, at dinner, we weren't really feeling it. We'd already been kind of wet the whole day. We'd been in the pool. We'd been in the river. We'd got warm, dry and showered. Felt really nice and cozy. So didn't really want to go back into the water. But oh my God, were we all glad that we did. It was so good.
It was amazing. It was a magical, amazing first day in this place that we never knew existed. So the trips got off to a good start. Day two, Amy is talking about extreme activities. I think this has gone up quite a few gears. This was probably, some might say, the most extreme activity that we did the whole time here in Huasteca Potosina. What are we doing, Amy?
We were rappelling down an 80-meter cliff.
So how did you feel at the top when we're first, looking over the edge and we're about to go down? Like, looking forward to it or were you pooing your pants?
Well, we arrived on this like jeep and then we had to do a half an hour walk to get to the point where you go off the cliff, which was an exciting little walk actually because, we're kind of climbing up and down things. It wasn't just a walk, it was kind of climbing as well. But once we arrived, I was trying to keep myself calm and because, I love scaring myself. It's why I started my bucket list. So this is the perfect thing for me to really push myself out of my comfort zone. I know it's like that for everyone else as well. But, some people love doing stuff like this and it doesn't scare them. But I was trying not to look over the edge because it is an 80 meter drop and it was quite scary. So I was trying to keep myself busy by talking to people. But then actually, just before I was about to go down, I did have a good old long look and I thought, oh God, do I want to do this? And there were quite a few people in the group that didn't do it because it was quite scary. But oh my God, I'm so glad that we did. You've got your guides there. You're perfectly safe. You've got all brilliant equipment. You are completely fine. you just need to understand and put your trust in the guides, because really you're not actually doing any of it yourself. They tell you to slowly edge the rope out so that you can go down, but really they're doing it. It's not really you.
That's true. Yeah, they're the ones doing it. But yeah, at the top, mate, that's well scary. 80 meters or ish is a huge drop, and it goes into some water as well. It's massive. And you're right, not everyone did it. Some people pulled out. Hard work as well, isn't it, going down?
Yeah, I mean, my abs were killing me at the bottom. We'd done rappelling a few months before in Ecuador, and I think how high were those waterfalls?
Maximum was 20 meters.
Yeah, about 20 meters. But that was, we had the water actually crashing in our face at that point in Ecuador. But in Mexico, it was a dry waterfall. Well, the waterfall was just on the other side. So you're going down and you can see it. And we have drone footage going around us as we're going down. It was really cool until I got about halfway down. So Nick, Gabby, James and Becky all got down. They went first and I went last. So I'm going down and I'm looking. You've got two ropes. You've got one in front of you and then one that goes behind you. And as I'm going down, I'm thinking, this one behind me is getting pretty short. And I was thinking, I'm going to run out of rope. Like, how does this work? Because obviously, you know, I haven't done this many times, so I don't understand how all the ropes are supposed to work. So I look down and Gabby, James and Nick at this point were shouting at me, going, go on, Amy, go for it, go on, Amy, shouting really, really loud. But I could not hear them. I couldn't identify what words they were saying.
What did it sound like to you?
I don't know. You just all sounded really panicked and you were just like, wah, wah. And yeah, I was getting so scared and I'm thinking, what do I do? Because I'll be like quarter of the way up still and I'll just have to drop. I'll just have to drop into the water. I just didn't really understand what was going to happen. So I kept going and then I started to scream back at them and I was going, the rope is running out. I just couldn't understand what was going on. And I thought, right, what I'll do is I'll get to the end and where I can literally have the end of the rope in my hand and then show it to them. So I keep going down. And then actually I kind of work out, I don't need this rope. I've got this rope in front of me that is really holding my weight. I don't need that. So then I realized that actually just let that one go and it keeps going up while I keep going down. And it was fine. And there was a guy at the bottom with an inflatable kayak and he would have caught me. So that would have been
still
fun.
High up though.
Yeah, I'd say it was still like 30 meters.
Yeah, I think so. Like almost halfway up. That
I mean,
was still high.
You do not want to jump that.
No
you
way.
You do not want to fall. So yeah, it was scary, but oh my God, I loved it. I would totally do it again. I think Gabby said that she wouldn't.
Yeah, that's right.
But would you do it again?
Yeah, I'd do it again. I enjoyed it. And my tactic was just to go down there quick because it was hard work. So I just got down as quick as possible. But I really enjoyed it. And every now and then you take a second to look around where we were in, I think, the most stunning landscape of like this part of Mexico, Huasteca Potosina. That day when we were rappelling, I think that was the most spectacular setting. It was amazing. But when you're scared and concentrating, you forget just how beautiful this place is. But amazing. Again, you have to watch the video. It's stunning.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I'd want to reiterate that there are two videos and I think they're around 20 to 25 minutes each. And they show in depth what we did and how you can do it too. So yeah, I definitely recommend watching that. It will be on our YouTube channel in the next few months. So if you go subscribe and hit the bell, you'll be notified as soon as they become available.
Let's join Alex again to talk in more detail about what we've achieved, the massive 80-meter rappel.
So we went in the second tallest waterfall in central Mexico, which is El Salto. It's a 72-meter drop. So we went to do the rappelling. So you guys were connected with two ropes, main life rope and one of safety. And you guys did it by yourself. So we did 72 meters drop, rappelling down and falling into the water.
There's two ways of going down. I asked two separate instructors, which is the least scary way. And both of you said on the right. Yeah. But after I went down on the right, I think it was the left one.
Yeah,
is that true?
I think that was a lie.
It's not true per se, because a lot of the people, they get scared when they see just the one main line going down. And breaking it in a little bit of steps and a little bit of jumps make it for people to break down where they can process that. So it's not that it's more scary, it is just the process of taking that information that you're receiving.
Okay. And when going down, I was confused because like, you're walking down and then suddenly There's nowhere to put your feet.
Yes.
So what do you do in that situation?
You just let all the devices to work. You sit in the harness, hold on into your rope, and just enjoy the view.
Okay.
Because there is nothing that's going to happen.
Today my abdominals hurt. I was doing a sit-up. I was really tense the whole way down. But it was an incredible experience.
It was amazing, but it's hard work, isn't it?
It is. It's a hard work. But if we break it down, that's the trophy of the climber. So when you climb all the way to the top, achieving your climb, when you rappel down, you can get to see what you achieve. So technically, we just cheat in the center way, just going down.
Is that the tallest that you've ever rappelled down, or have you done bigger?
I done bigger.
Where?
Here in central San Luis Potosi, there is caves that they go below 800 meters.
Caves that go 800 meters deep?
Yeah, vertical caves that they go below 800 meters deep.
Wow.
Wow. Was that good?
Excellent. Beautiful.
Yeah, but I think you would enjoy that, because from all the activities you've been doing, and like today when we were rafting, I can tell that you like to do extreme things.
Yes,
is that when you feel most alive?
Yes, I feel free and I feel that I can be myself when I'm doing these things. It is just a lifestyle. I love it.
Thanks for that, Alex. Now, moving on for the rest of day two, the group went jumping. Now, I'm going to hand over to Nick in a second because I didn't actually do this. Now, I'd always recommend that people do everything on a tour because you can get the most out of it. But when it comes to jumping off cliffs, I know myself, like, I won't do it. I just won't do it. I'll climb off with ropes. I'd rather come off of a cliff of 100 meters rather than jump off something of 2 meters. Like, I really hate it. So I knew I wouldn't enjoy this, and Becky actually felt the same. So we stayed by the pool and made ourselves a little Instagram video. But you can see that in our YouTube video once again. So Nick, tell me about the jumping. What happened? How high did you jump from? Was it scary?
No, so it was good, but I think you made the right choice not to do it because I know you hate jumping. We started off and it was a fun little course. You'd go down river and jumps are at different sizes. We actually started with the biggest jump, which is 10 meters, which like that is high. People listening might think, ah, that's nothing. But a 10 meter like free jump, that is high. I hesitated. I really didn't want to do it. But then people were around me pressuring me.
Peer pressure.
I totally gave in to peer pressure because you have to enter the water in the right way. Otherwise, you can hurt yourself. But I did it. I wouldn't do it again, like the 10-meter jump. I'm glad I did it. But then followed by like a 2-meter jump here, 5-meter jump there. And those are just really fun. Really, really good fun. And like I said, we just worked our way down river and just a very enjoyable way to spend an afternoon. But like I said, the 10-meter jump freaked me out a bit.
So obviously I didn't do it. But to get, this might be a really stupid question, but to get down river, did you swim and then just climb out? How did it work?
Yeah, no, you're right. Jumped in, swam a bit, climbed out, jumped down again. It was almost as if like the river was kind of man-made, you know, like a lock when you're in a boat and you're going a lock and then the water level rises or lowers and then you go down again. It was a bit like that, but just all natural downhill. It was beautiful.
And am I right in thinking that was the same place as where we were rappelling as well?
It was actually, yeah, it was very close to that place where we rappelled. We went into the water and then we swam a bit and climbed out. If you just kept going downstream, you'd get to where we were jumping.
Lovely. Well, it sounds delightful for you, but I definitely agree with my choice. I don't think I would have liked it. I know that Caro, the woman who got us involved in the tour, she was saying, you should do it, but I knew I wouldn't want to.
No, you made the right choice. You would have hated it.
Between all of these activities, we were being treated like kings and queens. So in between the rappelling, we went back to our luxury hotel, had lunch. It was kind of buffet style, choose what you want, and great food, and then back to the next activity. So that was day two. Moving on to day three.
Another action-packed day. It's all, you know, it's all adrenaline, water activities, all so much fun. But we did rafting. Now, whitewater rafting, that scares some people, doesn't it?
I guess it depends on what category it is. So I believe you have between 0 and five, five being the strongest and like kind of professional level. And I know Becky, our friend who was with us, this was the activity that scared her the most. So I thought rappelling would be the one that would scare everyone the most, but it was the water rafting actually.
Yeah, because some people, and I get it, that they're scared of the boat flipping and then the boat trapping them underwater. That is a scary thought.
Oh, absolutely. And especially with rapids, you know, there's parts where they suck down, so they could really push you down underwater. And there's techniques to stop that from happening if you do fall out of the boat. So if you are going whitewater rafting and that's something that you're scared of, make sure you take the necessary precautions and safety advice from your tour guide.
Always good advice, that is. But we did it. It was great fun. And I think they were like category two, would you say? Rapids? Maybe
think
three.
Were two and three. Because I said I wanted it a bit harder.
That's yeah.
A bit more rough.
Every time it was only like three times I've done rapids with you, and at the end you're like, come on, I want something more, but that's enough for me. Like I enjoy it if it's not too rough.
No, it needs to be rough, because otherwise it's just a boat ride.
Well, yeah, I see the point. What's the point of doing rafting if it's if it's not extreme? But we did it. We loved it. The thing that weirdly we enjoyed the most was at one point we all just like jumped out of the boat into the water because it's so inviting and it was a hot day. And we were just like, we had our life jackets on. So we were just floating effortlessly down the water and actually floating through the rapids, which was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
It was really good because obviously it's a river, so it's all traveling in one direction. But I couldn't believe how strong the pull was.
Yeah.
When it's pushing you in that direction or pulling you in that direction. And if you go towards the edge, you can really feel it sucking you to the edge. It is amazing.
Oh my God!
Yeah, really great experience. And Becky, one of our friends, was saying it was the best experience of her life.
I was just saying that this activity is the best activity I've ever done in my life. So getting in the water and then going down the stream. Because obviously with the life jacket, number one. Definitely, I would definitely say to anyone, do it.
So yeah, that was really lovely because, you know, this was Becky's first backpacking trip to Mexico. Well, to anywhere really. So we really wanted to make sure that she was having a good time all the time. And you know, because you can get homesick anytime you travel, but especially on your first trip. So we really wanted to make sure she's having a good time, and especially with an activity that she was really worried about, because I believe when she was younger she did it and the boat flipped, and so it was a bit of a scary activity for her to do, but she just loved it. And the whole trip, the whole group, the other Mexicans on the tour, our group, Caro, they all made it really special for her. So yeah, I'm really happy.
Yeah, we were with nice people in a beautiful place, weather was great, having laughs, so much fun. So we loved it. Rafting, great. Another good day in Huasteca Potosina.
Cat, Angel of a Dime, baby. And a P.O.P. I pull up straight to the club and they all show me love. I'm with all on me ante. They keep on asking for liquor and bitches. They want me, they all compliment me. And I am no boy for material. No, I ain't got enough time for that lately. But just for tonight, girl, I swear that I'll always be yours. No, you ain't got to worry about not.
So to finish off our whitewater rafting day, we went back, had a lovely dinner again, just super chilled. And I think we ended up playing cards outside our bungalow, didn't we?
Great thing to do when you're traveling.
It was great. And actually, while we're at it, I've just remembered one of my favorite things about this hotel. Not sure if the hotel was meant to have this or not, but they had a dog. Oh, and the dog was so pregnant. She looked like she had like 7 or 8 puppies inside her. Like, oh my God, this dog completely broke my heart. She wasn't the prettiest dog I've ever seen.
It's true.
And quite wiry fur. Like, she wasn't very soft, but oh my God, what an affectionate dog. So if you do end up going there, please make sure that you love her. I really miss her. Like, sometimes I'm sitting at home and I just watch videos of her.
And because she was pregnant, I just thought we had to look after her, because I think she was a wild dog, but just lived there. And so at breakfast time, we'd be sneaking and give her some food. Like, she needs it. She's pregnant. And you're right, just such a loving, affectionate dog.
Oh, I think I put out like a blanket or a towel for her. So sorry to the hotel. The dog needs it. Like,
absolutely.
Oh, what a beautiful dog. Right, anyway, the next day we woke up and went to our second and final accommodation of this trip. And just to make it clear, these hotels are actually owned by Huasteca Secreta. So I love that name, by the way.
Huasteca Secreta.
To the company, it sounds really cool, especially for English people. Huasteca Secreta. Yeah, so both these hotels are owned by the company and they have the whole tour. So everything is booked through them, which makes it really convenient because the hotel is the same company. You know, there's not going to be any confusion and everything ran super smoothly. Now, this second hotel, Caro, the woman who was organizing the tour and taking us round, she was telling us, don't get our hopes up on this place because the first place is a lot better. But when we arrived, we were like, what are you talking about? This place is stunning. Yes, my favorite one was the first hotel, but this place was beautiful.
Proper luxury. Like, yeah, we were living in luxury, both accommodations we were. And yeah, you guys listening, if you do this tour, you'll be living in luxury the whole time. The first one, I think, was just in a better location. It looked stunning. But in terms of like the facilities and the rooms themselves, I preferred the second one.
Yeah, actually, I loved our bathroom in the second one. It was like outside. So you're showering outside, but you're fully covered. So there's no ceiling, but you've got walls around you. It's so cool. Just like showering outside, you just feel really free and it's sexy.
It's open, but it is very private at the same time. And this hotel also had a pool, just like the last one, great bar, restaurant area, everything you need. It was amazing. And because our expectations were low, we were blown away when we saw it. We couldn't believe it, especially because we've been like backpacking, couch surfing and being in hostels the whole trip. This was proper luxury.
Yeah, to be fair, our standards of luxury are quite low at this point because we've been living out of our bags for a year. But even now, I'd be really impressed with that place. Like, stunning.
That was proper good. So what we did from here, we went to a little town called Ixitla, spelt with an X at the start, right?
Ixitla.
Very good. And the reason why we went there is because this place was put on the map by a British guy, actually, Edward James, because nearby you can visit Edward James Castle. He's a very wealthy man. He inherited a lot of his money. He's also got links to the old British royal family, so he's got plenty of money. But what this meant was he was able to support artists. Like, his passion, his love was art. He supported Salvador Dali, Picasso, Coco Chanel was a mate of his, and Man Ray, he's a photographer, right?
Yeah, he got involved in all the arts, not only painting, but photography, sculpting, fashion, all of it.
Now, he loved this part of Mexico in particular. You know, this is a time when no tourists are going here, so he really put this part of Mexico on the map. And he built like a bizarre home / castle / zoo, and that's what we went to go check out.
So it's literally in the middle of this garden / jungle. So you walk in, or you drive. It's quite a journey from the hotel, I'd say about 40 minutes, I believe. And so when you arrive, it's almost like you've just arrived to a jungle. There are plants, trees, foliage, green everywhere. And then you'll just see there's just like buildings spiking out of the jungle. And it's all these different elements that he'd built to represent his artist. It is really beautiful. But the fascinating thing about it is that he left it unfinished. And he did that on purpose because he thought that finished work perishes. It dies. So he didn't want to do that.
Yeah, it is a really striking, strange but beautiful building just in the middle of this jungle. And you could be right nearby and you'd never know it's there because it's like hidden by the jungle. But once you start exploring, really weird but like unique and beautiful place.
And like they say it's a castle, but it doesn't look like a castle, does it? There's these buildings that spike out. They're kind of like religious arches in some places.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
All made out of stone. And so like as you're walking through, because it's a jungle as well, there's insects and everything everywhere, there's cobwebs, but I think it all really adds to it. It really is beautiful. But then in the middle, there's like almost a stage and it has these pylons coming out of it. Would you call them pylons?
Columns.
Yeah, pylons sounds very electrical, but they were like stone. I've forgotten what you said again.
Columns. It would be a good place for a music festival. And I believe there is an electronic music festival there.
Yeah, so Caro was telling us that they're going to have an electronic music festival there. And oh my God, I really want to go to that.
That'd be a proper good location.
Yeah, like how cool in somewhere so historic, so beautiful, so natural. And then you've got electronic music to kind of be a juxtaposition to it. Like I just think, Oh, it'd be amazing.
So, weird and wonderful place. But, you know, again, we never knew. And this is linked to our history. A British guy, you know, built this. Well, paid people to build it. but a beautiful, amazing place we'd never heard of before. And later that day, we went to somewhere even weirder, didn't we, Amy?
Very weird. I liked it, but it was very weird. So we went to Castillo de la Salud, which means the health castle. Now, this place was some Willy Wonka kind of weird stuff.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. It was like a building. Yeah, it was like Willy Wonka built it.
This was more like a traditional castle, I think. Just this massive building. And you walk there and everything is colourful. Like, everything is painted, every single colour you could think of. And there's, like, weird stuff hanging. And you're, like, walking around thinking, what is that? It's so bizarre. I don't know how to explain it. And it's all there because of this local man who was like a medicine man and turned shaman. There are still shaman there that you can be healed by. And Becky actually was healed while we were there.
Basically, she's just being beaten by a branch, which she didn't enjoy, but it made for fantastic viewing. It was hilarious. Again, we've got that on video. But yeah, as well as these like traditional shaman cleansings, there is like a pharmacy there, an apothecary area. Is that what you call it? An apothecary something?
I know there's an apothecary table, but I don't know if an apothecary is like a pharmacy. I think that's what you mean.
And they're selling all these like natural alternative medicines. And like people from the local village, Ijitla, they do come to this place and they do pay the shamans to heal them and they do pay for these alternative medicines. And yeah, if they help people, great. Like, I don't know personally how much scientific research is behind it, but it's a popular place. People use it and it does seem to help people.
And moving on to the final day, so day 5, we went kayaking or canoeing? I never know which one's which.
Canoeing, I would say.
Well, it's the one that has more than one person in it. So it was actually just one big rowing boat and the whole group were in it. So how many in the entire group? Like,
must have been like 12 to 15.
Yeah. And we were all rowing to this particular waterfall, not the one that we said at the start, but a different one. And it was kind of like hard work because we were all tired from the rest of the activities and we couldn't get in sync. So it was even harder. You know, some people were spinning on the left and then some were doing it on the right. So we're kind of turning and yeah, but it was funny nonetheless. We had a really good time. We sailed all the way down the river and I think it was like 5 kilometers that we did.
I think that sounds right. Beautiful canyon far. We were in.
And then we got to the waterfall and all got on this big rock that was in the middle of the river and just all sat there having photos with the waterfall and chatting and having a good time. And then we rode back.
Stunning location, sat on this rock, waterfall ahead of us, a guy on the tour got his drone up. Mate, we got some sick footage. Just what a place to be. Incredible.
Lovely. Now, as we're coming to the end of this episode, it's time to see what our fellow tour group thought of this place. Don't take our word for it. Listen to what the local Mexicans thought.
I'm Valeria Diaz de Leon and I'm from San Luis Potosí City.
I'm Valeria Rincón and two from San Luis Potosí.
My name is Daniel Pisaña. I'm from Aguascalientes, Mexico.
I'm Susi Ayala. I'm from Mexico, León City.
What do you think of Huasteca Potosina?
I think it's one of the best places, natural places that you can be in because there's a lot of activities you can do and it's also like really virgin. So it's something that is not explored and it's a lot of cultural and as well like physical activities and like extreme activities. So I like it.
Yes, it's the lovely places that I see and it's very beautiful. The color of the water is very, very, very beautiful.
Huasteca Potosina is an amazing place. This is the 4th time I came in. If you bring a drone here, you will get the best footage of your life.
Wow, it's the place that I always wanted to come. but it's like a dream come true. It's a really beautiful place. I have been like in some places in the world, but this place is super unique.
What has been your favorite activity that we've done?
My favorite activity, it was the kayak.
And for me, I think the jumping, because I like jumping from high places.
For me, it was the rappel, because it's a pretty high place. You get an amazing view of all the river. Again, if you have a drone, damn, bro, you get the best footage.
The rafting. We were a team.
We were, yeah. A team, yeah. How did it go? Team
G.
Do you think everyone in the world should come here?
No, they have to come here. They don't should help. They have to.
For me, to be honest, San Luis Potosí, La Huasteca, is the Bali of Mexico. It's a very cool place, and you need to get here if you go to Mexico.
Yes, because it's like everybody's chasing waterfalls, and here's the waterfall paradise. So, yes.
The afternoon of our final day, we were all taken back to San Luis Potosí City, where the tour finished and we all went our separate ways around Mexico.
Now, before saying our goodbyes, we had to have a quick little chat with Caro, who made this whole trip possible for us, like I said earlier. We asked her how the company Huasteca Secreta got started.
Well, it was a project of Juan Ignacio Torres Landa 20 years ago when he came here and he was in love with Huasteca. Then he decided to build some bungalows for his family to come and visit. But then he decided to share all these beautiful moments and beautiful places for all the people. So he did the first hotel, Salto El Meco, 10 years ago. And then Tantala was made almost 3 years ago.
What do you offer people?
Okay. Well, we offer different activities for ecotourism, adventure, accommodation, yes, and also food and beverage. Also, we offer transport from the airport. We have shuttles to the different hotels we have. And from the hotels, we have also transport to the different places you can go and visit.
So when people book with you, do they book a tour like what we've done, or is it that they book things individually?
No, yes, they book a tour. We have two different places to go just in one day, so they can get to know different places in the less time. So if they come 4 or 5 days, we can take them to maybe 6 or 7 different places all around Huasteca, because Salto El Meco is for doing activities inside the hotel. You can be in the river and do all the activities in there. And Tantala, it's especially for to take the different tours and go and visit the places. The most interesting and beautiful places like Gilitla, Waterfall of Tamul, Micos, Minas Viejas. We have different places to see.
Yeah, so the first hotel that we stayed in, you can do everything in the hotel, but here it's a good base to go to different places.
Yes, here Tantala is like our reception hotel, so we receive our different clients and we take them all around Huasteca.
So where can people find your company and what's the best way to book a tour?
For reservations, they need to go and visit our webpage, www.huastecasecreta.com. Also, well, by Facebook or by Instagram, they can just contact us and write how many people want to come here to Huasteca and which dates, so we can do everything for them. We can organize the trip.
And the name of the company, that means like secret Huasteca.
The secret Huasteca, yes. Huasteca Secreta is like a hidden place in the Huasteca.
But it's not a secret anymore.
It's not a secret anymore. We don't want it to be a secret. We just want people to come and really visit these beautiful places that they are, I think, one of the most beautiful places I've ever been.
That's it. make sure you add Huasteca Potosina to your list when you're in Mexico. No one else has been there before. I feel like we're the first people to discover it. We didn't. The company did, Huasteca Secreta. But you've got to join these guys. They'll show you this place the best. They'll do it the most justice. What an amazing place. Like, one of our, it's hard to pick because Mexico's got so many, one of our favorite places in the whole of Mexico.
I'm actually going to say it's my favorite place in Mexico.
Really? Yeah. I think it's hard to argue, actually. It was stunning. Like, I can't believe how beautiful it is. It took my breath away.
Because I think it's between there and Bacalar. But this place, Huasteca Potosina, has so much more to do. And that's the sort of holiday that I like. You know, stuff to push me out of my comfort zone. There's the natural side to it. You can do walks and hikes. It's just so good for your brain to be in a place like this. And it just makes you happy. But yeah, I really, really loved it. And actually, I think on our Instagram, in terms of stories and everything we put up of our trip, I think this one got the most interaction. People were loving everything about this place, you know, what it looked like. They wanted to know how to get there. So definitely, definitely check it out. And if you are going to go, guys, we couldn't recommend Huasteca Secreta anymore. You know, the whole trip was super chilled. Everything just, you know, just was effortless. And they took us around. They knew their stuff. If we had any questions, educational questions about the area, the people, the community, they always knew their stuff. So yeah, we'd definitely recommend them.
And it was fun. They just always made it fun, which is what it should be. So thanks, Huasteca Secreta, for having us. And remember, you guys listening, you can see everything that we've just spoken about over on our YouTube channel.
So make sure you subscribe, hit that bell, and you'll get the notification as soon as it's available.
See you next time. Don't forget, you can get in touch with the show. You can email us at whatthefopodcast@gmail.com. We are also on all the social medias, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we are also on Patreon. For more information on all those things, you can go to our website at www.whatthefotravelpodcast.com.